Okay. I'd like to begin by reading Psalm 88. Psalm 88 was written by Heman at a time when he probably suffered from significant depression, perhaps. But I think that anyone who has struggled with depression or presently struggles with it will recognize some of the things that Heman expresses here in Psalm 88. So let's read together the Word of God as it is recorded for us in Psalm 88. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before Thee. Let my prayer come before Thee. Incline Thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thy hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee, Selah? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They came round about me daily like water. They compass me about together. Lover and friend, hast thou put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. Thus for the reading of God's holy, precious, and infallible Word. Let's ask the Lord for His blessing upon our gathering. Great and glorious Triune God, what a privilege it is that on this day we may gather in Thy house, that Thou hast given this day in the midst of a fallen world as an oasis, a spiritual oasis, giving us and our children the privilege to come to Thy house and to hear Thy Word proclaimed. Lord, we ask for Thy divine benediction upon the message that was proclaimed by Pastor Kuivenhoven this morning. A message that confronted us with the truth of Thy wrath against all unrighteousness. That wrath that was manifested on Calvary's cross when it was poured out upon Thy Son as the substitute for sinners, in order that we who deserve that wrath might flee the wrath to come and be reconciled with Thee. And Lord, we pray that what we heard this morning would bear fruit in our hearts, especially those who as yet have not come to the Lord Jesus Christ in the way of genuine repentance and faith in Him. Oh, that they would hasten for their life's sake, unless, having often been reproved, they will suddenly be cut off. Bless us now, Lord, as we gather here this morning in this class, and as we will address the subject of depression and affliction that affects so many. We pray, Lord, that His instruction will be helpful and profitable, especially if there are those among us who are presently dealing with that affliction. And so, Lord, grant us a good and profitable hour together. We ask it. In the forgiveness of our manifold sins, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear friends, it's been my experience that whenever I address this subject, that it always resonates. Because if statistics are correct, then I can say with almost 100% certainty that there are people here today in this audience who struggle with depression, or who have struggled with depression, or who know of someone who is presently struggling with depression. Studies and statistics tell us today that depression in North America is a health problem of epidemic proportions. And yet, it continues to be the hidden affliction. It continues to be an affliction of which most people are ashamed, and which they try to hide, even from those who are closest to them. It also continues to be an affliction that is so misunderstood by so many. I remember in my first congregation, a woman who told me that she had no tolerance for people that had depression. No tolerance for them. She would just tell them, just get with it. Just pull yourself together. Stop moping in a corner. Just get up and go. Until she had to deal with clinical depression. And she came to me later and she said, Pastor, I am so ashamed of how I used to react to people that struggle with depression. I am so ashamed of what I've said. I'm so embarrassed because now I understand, now I realize, having had to deal with this myself personally. And it's true, my friend. If you've never had to deal with this debilitating affliction of depression, you cannot begin to understand why depressed people act the way they do. And we tend to be impatient with them. And that's one of the reasons why it remains the hidden affliction. Fortunately, however, increasingly good books on the subject are being published, and the awareness of this affliction is continually being raised. And in God's wonderful providence, there are now medical means available that very effectively can deal with this debilitating affliction. Because as we will see, as we progress through this outline, there are several different kinds of depression. As we will see later, there is what we call situational depression. A depression that comes on by circumstances. And once the situation is dealt with, the depression will pass away. But there is that other kind of depression that is not necessarily the result of painful, difficult, unsettling circumstances. Depression that is caused by a chemical imbalance in the body. We hope to address that as well. And so I want to address this today, and let me say up front, I doubt whether I will be able to cover this entire outline. It's not my intention. By God's grace and in His providence, I hope to stay around for a while, and should I be given another opportunity to meet with you in this class, I will continue my discussion of this subject. But I want to raise the awareness in this congregation to this affliction. And if you yourself have never had to deal with this affliction. I'm hopeful that as a result of my presentation today and in the future, that you will at least have a better understanding of this affliction. So that if you encounter someone in your family or in your circle of acquaintances, that you will be able to come and sit next to such a person and be able to help such a person, to be able to comfort such a person. The affliction of depression is as real as the affliction of diabetes. None of us would look down upon a person because they happen to have diabetes. None of us would say, well, somehow you need to get your life in order. You need to get a hold of yourself to deal with this affliction. None of us would look down on someone who suffers from chronic high blood pressure. These are afflictions. Afflictions that plague many. Afflictions that remind us that we live in a fallen world. And that our bodies are subject to the curse and the debilitating consequences of sin. And depression happens to be one of those afflictions. In other words, not only is our physical body affected by the fall, but our minds are affected by the fall as well. And one of the ways in which that manifests itself is also by means of this affliction. And that's why depression is a problem that needs to be addressed with pastoral compassion and with commitment. If there are ever people that need your tender love, if there are ever people that need your understanding, if there are ever people that need you to come alongside them, if there are ever people that need a listening ear, they are the people who have to deal with this affliction, the affliction of depression. So let's take a look at this debilitating affliction. So let's first make a distinction here between depression and feeling blue. Now, all of us have those days that we feel blue. And when we feel blue, everything seems gloomy. Everything seems kind of negative. But quite often, within hours, or sometimes within days, that sense of feeling blue will pass. And so all of us, human beings, have to deal with such mood fluctuations. But depression is when the feeling blue goes beyond just a few hours or goes beyond just a few days. Depression is something that's more of an abiding nature. It's like a dark cloud that hangs over the life of such an individual, a dark cloud that just doesn't go away. And so I've given you here, under item 2.2, I've given you here a list of some of the common symptoms that accompany depression. Let me just quickly go over them. And in the quietness and in the privacy of your own home, you may want to look at this list. You may want to go down that list and see if you recognize any of these symptoms in your own life. Because you see, just like any other affliction, if you ignore the fact that you have high blood pressure and you continue to live as if you didn't have high blood pressure, it will ultimately catch up with you. And the consequences could be serious. And so untreated depression can also have very serious consequences. Many suicides are committed by people whose depression went untreated. So what I'm simply saying, depression is not something to fool around with. It's a serious thing. So what are some of the common symptoms that accompany depression? A prolonged and prevailing sense of sadness. A sense of sadness about everything that's happening. A sense of sadness that just won't go away. Often depressed people very readily cry. They're always on the verge of tears. Sometimes depressed people spend a lot of time weeping. There can be a loss of interest in the normal activities of life. A loss of interest in your family, a loss of interest in your spouse, a loss of interest in your profession. All things that you, under normal circumstances, show a high degree of interest for. A sometimes overwhelming sense of failure. People that are depressed commonly view themselves as failures. They view everything they have done as a failure. They see their entire life as a failure. It doesn't mean it is, but that's one of the symptoms, you see. And with that comes an excessive sense of inferiority. When someone feels depressed, they just feel that everything they've ever done comes short, that they are inferior to everyone else. Or it can be a sense of uselessness. That a depressed person feels that they are of no use to anybody. Then, of course, that is often accompanied by also a sense of hopelessness. I think that's one of the toughest things when you suffer from depression. And let me be totally transparent with you. I know whereof I speak. I have personally, several times in my life, dealt with extensive periods of depression. I know what clinical depression is. And one of the debilitating things is this sense of hopelessness. It seems so hopeless. Everything seems hopeless. You cannot imagine that you can ever function normally again, that you can ever think normally again. Often, depressed people, because of this, begin to avoid social interaction. Being around quote-unquote normal people is extremely painful for them. So they tend to withdraw themselves. Another symptom is the inability to function spiritually. So often that the depression is then compounded by that, compounded by a perceived lack of interest in spiritual things, a perceived inability to pray. And then it seems that God can be so far, so distant. That's why I read Psalm 88. And I would encourage you to read it again. What a gracious provision of the Lord it has been that He moved His servants at specific times and under specific circumstances to record their feelings, their emotions, as Heman did in Psalm 88. My father, who wrote a book on depression called A Helping Hand, it's available in English, I've translated it, and the second volume entitled A Spiritual Depression, and I would encourage you to read both. He uses the example of a broken radio, a radio with a broken antenna. Well, that means that radio, even though everything else in that radio may still be in order, but because the antenna is broken, it can no longer receive the signal and cannot work properly. And so a depressed person is a person with a broken antenna when it comes to spiritual things. That's why often they struggle spiritually. They're often plagued by guilt, by what we would call psychological guilt. Of course, there is such a thing as real guilt. When we sin, we are guilty. But for a depressed person, this becomes excessive. They begin to feel guilty about all kinds of things they don't need to feel guilty about, directly as a result of their condition. And then, this awful thing of being plagued by suicidal thoughts. Again, I can tell you from experience what an awful thing that is. When you feel so hopeless, when you feel so wretched, that you become preoccupied with thinking about ways that you might end it all. And I'm so thankful that in God's providence, I've been there myself. So that I would never, never be judgmental towards those who have actually attempted it. I know how powerful that temptation can be. Because you see, when you're depressed, you become so very vulnerable. Very vulnerable also to the assaults of Satan. Satan is like a vulture. Just like a vulture has a special sense for knowing that an animal is in distress and dying, so the devil has a special nose for people that are depressed. He will descend upon them. This is one of the things he will do. Plague them with the temptation of ending it all. Then there is the inability to concentrate and retain information. That's another very painful symptom. Because it seems that you can't think anymore. It seems like you've lost your mind. You can't concentrate on anything. But it's a symptom, you see. It doesn't mean you've lost your mind. Just like when you have a cold, you have certain symptoms that are very unpleasant. You have a runny nose, a scratchy throat, you're coughing. That doesn't mean that you're always that way. But when you have a cold, you have to deal with these unpleasant symptoms. And this is one of those symptoms of depression. And when the depression is properly dealt with, when the depression lifts, these symptoms will also disappear. Just like when you get over your cold. These symptoms of your cold will gradually vanish. Often, depressed people become very irritable. You see, if we don't know what's going on, if we don't read properly the behavior of someone who's depressed, then we will respond wrongly to them. But we need to understand that when someone is suffering from prolonged depression, when they deal with hopelessness, when they deal with inferiority, when they view themselves as a failure, when they have this loss of concentration, when it feels like their mind is not working, when things aren't working spiritually for them, wouldn't you become irritable? So irritability. Also, the inability to relax. And that's because of that psychological guilt. They feel guilty about everything. The depressed person feels he has no right to relax. He has no right because he has failed in every area of his life. And so he can't relax. Excessive and prevailing anxiety. Often, people with prolonged depression, with clinical depression, have to deal with anxiety attacks as well. Why is that? It's because a depressed person can't cope with what's going on. It's because a depressed person is being governed by negative thinking patterns. And as a result of that, he can become very anxious, you see. A depressed person can't handle the situation. A depressed person often feels overwhelmed by the circumstances of his life. There's often the disruption of a normal sleep pattern. It goes both ways. Either depressed persons can't sleep at all, or they sleep very briefly and will wake up in the middle of the night and then will be overcome by anxiety. Or they can do nothing else but sleep. It's not unusual for a depressed person to simply, instead of getting out of bed, is to pull the blankets over his head and wanting to stay there. Precisely because life is too painful. Life is too difficult to deal with. So it affects sleep pattern. Accompanied by all of this, and that shouldn't surprise us, is an overwhelming sense of fatigue. People that are clinically depressed, so I'm talking about not just feeling blue, but over a prolonged period of time, they often feel so tired. And of course, if you're not sleeping properly, no wonder you get this sense of fatigue. In other words, being depressed really wears you out. Inability to cope with the normal challenges of daily life. And the next one belongs to it. Molehills become mountains. For a depressed person, every molehill is a mountain. The most normal activities of the day can become a mountain. A depressed person can become so unsettled that if they have difficulty tying their shoe, they will tell themselves, that only proves that I am a good for nothing. Something so minor. But that's what happens when you're depressed. Everything is out of proportion. Molehills become mountains. A distorted sense of responsibility. And because of this psychological guilt that depressed people deal with, somehow they have this strange notion that they're responsible for everything that's going wrong around them. Everything that's wrong in their family or in their congregation, they'll say to themselves, that's my fault, I should have done more. It's unrealistic. Also a preoccupation with physical symptoms. Precisely because people are depressed, everything becomes upsetting. Even when you don't feel physically well. And especially if in your depression you have those waves, okay? And then sometimes a depressed person can feel a little bit better. And then it is as if he feels it coming again. He feels the next wave coming. That can be so unsettling. And finally, unreasonable expectations of self and others. It's because a depressed person, especially very depressed people, cannot think rationally. Because depression ultimately is a thinking problem. A depressed person is someone who engages in faulty thinking about himself and about his circumstances. And because of that thinking problem, he has unreasonable expectations of himself and often of others as well. Now, I'm not suggesting that every depressed person has all of these symptoms at the same time. Some people are more mildly depressed. Some people are more severely depressed. But if you can relate to a significant number of the items that are listed here, then that probably means that you are in some measure suffering from depression. So, how does depression affect our life? I already alluded to a number of these, so I can go over this fairly quickly. Well, it affects your ability to think and to feel. You know, there's this remarkable verse in Proverbs that is so applicable here. It says, as a man thinketh, so is he. That's so true. As a man thinketh, so is he. And so, when as a depressed person, you are constantly engaged in negative thinking patterns, that affects how you are. So, it affects your ability to think clearly, to think normally, and to feel normally. It affects your ability to function spiritually. It'll have a negative and unsettling effect on your spiritual life. It affects a person's personality, temporarily, but it affects them. Depressed people often act differently than they did when they felt normal. And that can be very unsettling to those who have to live with them. They'll say to themselves, what's going on here? This is not how this particular person acts normally. Only quite recently I was in a situation where someone that I know very well behaved himself in a manner entirely uncharacteristic for him, only to discover afterwards that this person is on the verge of a major burnout. And one of the symptoms of burnout is depression. Because when you are burned out, that means that your body literally is depleted of all of its resources. Not only physical resources, but mental resources. A burned out person is someone whose batteries are completely empty. And one of the results of having empty batteries is that you will become clinically depressed. It affects your ability to interpret events, to interpret them correctly. It affects your relationship. It affects your interaction with your spouse. It will affect the interaction with your children and with your loved ones. My own father went through a prolonged period of serious depression. He was out of commission for more than a year. And I remember well what a challenge that was to my mother, having to deal with my father under these circumstances. It affects your ability to communicate. It affects your ability to engage in your occupation. And sometimes people lose their jobs because they're depressed. I know of a brilliant young girl with a very high IQ who at the end of her college career became subject to a serious and prolonged bout of clinical depression. As a result, she could not graduate. As a result, she doesn't have a job today because of depression. It can very much affect how you function in your occupation, and it affects your ability to sleep properly. So I've basically set the stage. I have, I think, tried to address with you what depression is, what its symptoms are, and how it manifests itself. And then the next time, the Lord willing, I want to zero in on 2.4, on those thinking errors, those cognitive distortions that lead to depression. And we will then also begin to deal with how depression should be dealt with. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious God in heaven, we thank Thee so much that we could spend some time here dealing with this serious and prevalent affliction. And Lord, we pray that our presentation today would have been helpful to someone in identifying perhaps what's going on in their own lives. And we pray that ultimately this would result in proper care and proper treatment to deal with this affliction. Lord, how it reminds us of how far-reaching the consequences of the fall are. But Lord, what a blessing it is to know that also when it comes to this affliction, that we do have a compassionate high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was tempted in all things, sin excepted. A Savior who knows from experience what it is to be forsaken of God and man, and who in that utter forsakenness cried out, O God, why hast Thou forsaken me? In order that He could be a compassionate Savior also to those who, because of this affliction, often feel utterly forsaken of God and man. Lord, bless us the remainder of this day. Bring us here again to Thy house, and grant that also the remainder of this day Thy word may go forth with divine unction and power to the glory of Thy name, the coming of Thy kingdom, and the well-being of our souls. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.